I do desire your earnest prayers as we look into the Word of God. I'd like for you to please turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 20. And I want to begin reading at the 27th verse down through verse 36. St. Luke 20, 27 through 36. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which denied that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, If any man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also. And they left no children, and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, The children of this world marry, and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now the burden that is on my heart, and the thought that I would like for us to consider as a subject, they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world. Those precious souls whom the great God of heaven will judge to have met all the conditions and all the requirements that he have laid out for them to meet, and they are prepared and they are ready to meet him at his coming. Those precious souls whom the great God of heaven will consider to be fit to dwell with him in his holy presence around the throne of God for all eternity when this short and fleeting life is ended. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Chapter 16, I want to read verses 24 and 25, please.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples,
If any man will come after me,
let him deny himself
and take up his cross
and follow me.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Those precious souls who shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world are those precious souls who will deny themselves. Here Jesus associated the denying of oneself with the losing of our life. Now the sinner, man, woman, boy, or girl, who would desire to prepare themselves to obtain that world and to dwell with God when this short and fleeting life is ended, that individual must deny themselves. They must refuse to let the flesh have its way in their heart and in their life as they journey through this dark and sinful world. They must refuse to let self and the flesh rule and reign over them, govern and control them as they journey along the path of life. That individual must determine that by God's help and by God's grace, they will abstain from sinful things.
Let me read a definition for the word deny. The word deny, in one sense, means to do without desired things. It means also to abstain from. So the sinner man, woman, boy, or girl that wants to prepare themselves to be ready to meet God, that individual must determine that by the grace and power of God, I will do without those sinful things that the natural man desire and crave and reach out for. They must determine in their heart, their mind, their spirit that I will abstain, I will refrain from that which is corrupt, from that which is evil, from that which is defiled, from that which is ungodly. That individual, dear ones, must lose their life. They must give up their interests. They must give up their desires. They must give up their will. They must give up their way. And they must embrace the life of Christ. They must embrace His will, His way, His desires, and His interests. Now, self-denial don't stop when we get saved. Once we're saved, the child of God must also deny themselves. We must refuse to let the flesh rule and reign over us. We must refuse to let self have its way. I thought about the situation with Lot. Here was a situation that arose where the herdsmen of Lot and Abram's herdmen were striving for the pasture land. And Abram, being a peacemaker, he came to Lot. He said, "We be brethren. Let there be no strife between us." He said, "Separate yourself from me. If you go to the right hand, I'll go to the left. Or if you go to the left hand, I'll go to the right." The scripture said, Lot lifted up his eyes. He beheld the well-watered plains of Jordan, and he chose him all the best land. He gave in to the flesh, to his interests, to his desires. He did not deny himself. And it cost Lot. It started him on a downhill course. But by the mercy and the grace and help of God, Lot was able to keep himself afloat. He was able to keep his head above the water, spiritually speaking, inasmuch as he did not lose his eternity-bound soul, but it brought him into a place of great sorrow, of grief and heartache, because Lot's fleshliness, Lot's selfishness, Lot's lack of self-denial, set his loved ones up, that Satan was able to get an advantage of them and damage some and destroy some. Do you know, dear ones, that if we fail to deny ourselves, not only do it affect you and me, it affects others around us. Do you know that you and I can yield to the flesh? We can yield to self. We can fail to deny ourselves. And those people who we are close to, those whom we have influence with, we can affect those people in a negative way. And we can set those individuals up that Satan, the enemy of all souls, can get an advantage of them and damage some of them and bring about some of them their destruction. They which would be accounted worthy. Those precious souls whom the great God of heaven would judge to have met all the conditions and all the requirements that He have laid out for them to meet. Those precious souls whom God would consider fit to stand in His holy presence when this short and fleeting life is ended and enjoy the bliss of heaven for all eternity are men, women, boys, and girls who deny themselves. they which should be accounted worthy to obtain that world. Jesus said they would be those who would take up their cross. A cross is connected with suffering. Someone get 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verse 12, please. Yea, and all, not some, yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, shall bear a cross. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. You and I, if we would gain heaven, if we would be accounted worthy to obtain that world, we're going to have to suffer some things, folks. We are going to have to bear a cross. We are going to have to endure some things. We're going to have to put up with some things as we journey along the path of life. Things that will go against the flesh. Things that will go against the natural man. We're going to have to bear and endure and suffer and put up with those things. Shame, humiliation, disgrace, rejection. If you live godly, you will be rejected by the world. If you live godly, you will be rejected sometime by your friends. If you live godly, you will sometime be rejected by your family members. We have to bear a cross, folks. We have to suffer. That song poet said, I do not pray that life be spent on flowery beds of ease, but I only pray that Christ may guide across the stormy seas. What though my life be peace or pain, 'twill only soon be o'er, but I want to walk the way that leads to heaven's eternal shore. Not expecting everything to be flowery beds of ease. Peter said, arm yourselves likewise with a mind to suffer. They that live godly shall suffer. Oh, may God help us, dear ones. They which would be accounted worthy to obtain that world will have to bear the cross. Sometime we will be misunderstood. If you live for God, the world won't understand you. If you live for God, your friends won't understand you sometime. If you live for God, sometime your family members won't understand you. And what's greater, sometime the saints won't understand you. That's a cross, folks. When we are misunderstood, that's a cross. It causes grief. It causes heartache. It causes suffering to be misunderstood, and especially by those whom you love dearly, and they don't understand you. That brings suffering, folks. But we must bear the cross. Sometimes, afflictions, troubles, problems. We have to bear up under those things. If we would make heaven our home, we will have to endure some afflictions and some troubles. If we were not saved, some of the afflictions and troubles that we meet with
we would find a way to get around those things. We would find a way to get out of those things. But when you and I are living for God, and the Holy Spirit will not let us go around some of the things, we must go through those things. We must bear up under those things. We must endure those things and suffer those things by the grace and power of God as we journey along the path of life. They which shall be accounted worthy to make heaven their eternal home when this short and fleeting life is ended must bear the cross. Jesus went on to say, and we must follow Christ. Now, to follow, in one sense, mean to obey. If we would make heaven our eternal abode, we must obey God fully and completely. Not as King Saul did. God told Saul, I want you to go down and war against Amalek. I want you to utterly destroy all that pertain to that nation of people. I want you to slay man, woman, infant, suckling, camel, sheep, ox, ass, everything that pertained to them. I want it utterly destroyed. Saul gathered all Israel together. He went down and warred against Amalek. He utterly destroyed all that was vile and refuse. But he spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. And he spared King Agag. He did not fully obey. If you and I make heaven, folks, we must obey God fully.
Yes.
We cannot obey like Jonah did, reluctantly. Oh, listen, God is wanting willing obedience out of you and me. If you and I would have the stamp of His approval upon our life, we must obey Him willingly and not by force. They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world are those precious souls who will follow Christ, who will obey Him. The word follow also means to take as a model, and it means to imitate. Not to imitate brother or sister so-and-so, but to take Jesus as your model and to imitate Him, to follow in His footsteps, is what will get us to heaven, folks. They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world. In the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 43 and 44, please.
If thy hand offend thee,
cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Into the fire that never shall be quenched.
Where the worm dieth not,
and the fire is not quenched. Now those precious souls whom God will account worthy, whom He will consider fit to dwell with Him when this short and fleeting life is ended, are those who will cut off that hand, cut off that foot, or pluck out that eye. Now, Christ wasn't speaking of us cutting off our fleshly physical hand or foot, or plucking out this natural eye. But He was talking about spiritual things, things in your life and my life that is so near to us, so dear to us. We count it such a valuable thing that I just soon, in a natural sense, to give up my hand or give up my eye as to separate from this particular thing. But Jesus said, if that thing offend you, if it's causing you to stumble in your spiritual experience,
If it's causing you to fail to walk properly before God, it is better for you to separate yourself from that thing, give that particular thing up, whatever it may be, and enter into life and be able to make heaven your home than to hold on to that thing and go down to eternal ruin, down to eternal destruction, down to eternal damnation, down where no light ever enters, down where no hope shall appear, barred out of heaven forever and sundered from all that is dear. It's better to give that thing up than to go down to a devil's hell, down, dear ones, where the worm dieth not, where the soul of man will never die, where the conscience of man is always sharp and keen to remember everything that went on when you were in this present world. Down where the fires of hell will never be quenched. Oh, dear ones, listen. They that shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world are those precious souls who will separate themselves from everything that would hinder them and cause them not to walk properly before God, so that God could put His stamp of approval upon their life. Those are the people that will make heaven their home. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 1, please. Wherefore seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world are those precious souls who will lay aside every weight, everything that would hinder them, everything that would hold them back in this spiritual race, everything that would retard their spiritual growth in God. They are laying it aside. They are putting it off. And it's not all sinful things, folks. Do you know there are some lawful things that will hinder you and me in our spiritual race, will retard our spiritual growth, will cause us to let the enemy be able to overtake us and damage and sometime destroy our eternity-bound soul? Thought about Martha. The scripture said Martha was cumbered. She was cumbered. In simple terms, Martha was overloaded. Martha had too many irons in the fire. Martha was involved in too many things. Do you know, saints of God, we can get too caught up and too involved in this and involved in that, and it will drain us spiritually. We don't have time to study God's Word, meditate upon His truth, seek His face in prayer as we should, and it will drain our soul of spirituality, and we'll end up having a profession, a possession, profession, and no possession. We can get cumbered. Jesus said, Martha, you're careful. You're troubled about many things. You worry too much, Martha. But Mary has chosen that better part, which shall not be taken from her. I thought about how we can get so involved, even in spiritual things, of helping other people to keep their, get their life in shape, keep their life in shape. We can get so caught up with helping others that we fail to take the time to stop and refuel our own soul so that we can be what God would have us to be. And then if we're not careful, we begin to see things in our life. Why is this here? I'm striving to live for God, to be what He would have me to be, to do what He would have me to do. I'm too involved with others, neglecting my own soul, see? Oh, I thought about the scripture said they made me the keeper of the vineyard. But my own vineyard have I not kept. I got so involved with helping to keep the weeds and the briars and the thorns and the thistles out of this man's vineyard and that individual's vineyard and failed to keep the briars and thorns and thistles out of my own vineyard. Oh, folks, listen. We need God to help us as we journey through this dark and sinful world. It's not just adultery. It's not just fornication. It's not hatred and malice and envy that's going to cause people to be lost. That's not all that will cause people to be lost, folks. Do you know the neglecting of our own soul and getting too involved and caught up with dealing with other things and not taking care of your soul and my soul can cause us to lose out with God and go down to a devil's hell just like drugs and alcohol and anything else. They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world are those precious souls who will lay aside every weight. Everything that I know is hindering me from being what God would have me to be. The writer went on to say, and the sin. That carnal sin, that root of sin, that sin principle, that Adamic nature, lay it aside, put it off. God never intended for man to go through life in a justified state, dear ones. God wants mankind to go on unto perfection. He wants men, women, boys, and girls to enter into that sanctified life, get the nature of Christ within them. Oh, listen. When an individual, you see, Adam, when he sinned, he plunged the whole world into sin. Every individual that would ever be born into this world would be born with a depraved nature, would be born with the nature of Adam, would be born one step down from the original plan of God for mankind. When a little child is born into the world, that little child already has the root of sin planted in their heart. And when that child reaches an age of accountability where they know good and evil, they know right from wrong, and that child chooses the wrong, that child is now two steps away from God. They have the inherited sin that they were born with. And they have their volitional sins, their actual transgressions, where they willingly sinned against God. But when the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to that individual, and God began to teach them that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, they should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that individual's heart become broken, and their spirit contrite, and that individual humble themselves before God. They acknowledge their transgression. They repent of their sin. God pardon them, forgive them, blot out their transgression, wash them thoroughly from their iniquity, cleanse them from their sin. But that carnal nature, that sin that Adam passed upon them, still remains in the heart. Even though it was the first sin, yet it's not the first thing that we deal with. The first step going down is not the first step coming up. When you're going down, you take that step. When you're coming up, you to take that step last.
And so it is with justification and sanctification. Some people wonder why. If this sin was already there at first, why isn't it the first thing that's dealt with? But listen, justification, my actual transgression, what I knew was wrong, is the first thing that God deals with when I come and present myself before Him. Then once that's taken care of, then God began to deal with me about the inherited sin. You have something on hand that you need to get rid of. He said that sin that does so easily beset us. The word beset in one sense means to attack from every side. That carnal nature, that Adamic nature, that sin principle, it rises up on every hand. This is why people have so much trouble, dear ones. They get saved, they really get an experience of salvation. But if they don't go on into perfection, it will not be very long. And they'll begin to have trouble in their experience. And they'll begin to wonder what's going wrong. Lord, I want to live for you. I want to be what you'd have me to be. But I can't seem to keep the victory. I have to come back and repent for this and repent for that. They need that carnal sin rooted out of their heart. Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father have not planted shall be rooted up. Oh, listen. They need to consecrate. They need to dedicate. They need to give themselves wholly to God. Over in the 12th chapter, I believe, of the book of Romans, at about the first verse.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren.
Paul said, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you, brethren.
By the mercies of God.
That you present your bodies. You're saved. You've given your life to God. And He has saved your soul. Now I'm pleading with you. Present your body a living sacrifice to God.
Holy.
Acceptable unto God.
Which is your reasonable service.
That's just reasonable. Since Jesus gave His life for me, shall I not give Him mine? I'm consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I shall be wholly thine. Jesus wants the whole man. They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world are those precious souls who will go all the way with God. They will not only enter into a justified life, they will consecrate and dedicate their life to God and be wholly sanctified. The sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. The scripture said, in your patience, possess ye your soul. People sometimes get saved. Newborn babes. And they look at brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and the experience that they have and how God is blessing them. And in their heart, they desire that experience. And they want an experience in a year of what it took brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so 30 years to get. You have to be patient. That little baby that's born that see mama and daddy walking around and doing the things that they're doing, they can't just get up and do what mom and dad is doing. It takes time. They have to grow. And so it is in a spiritual sense. You have to be patient with yourself. We have to be patient with God, folks. Whether we are a newborn babe or whether we've been saved 40 years, we have to be patient with God. We're living in a world where we want God to do this and that for us, and we want Him to do it right now. God don't deal that way. God have His own time. He know what to do and when to do it. But we are a people that we want it done, and we want it done right now. If we are not careful, dear ones, a lack of patience can cause you and me to not be worthy to obtain that word. We can lose our soul being impatient. We have to be patient with one another.
Oh, listen. Sometimes we get so impatient with one another. They should have known this by now. They should have had the victory in this by now. But we forget that we struggle sometime to get some victories. It took us a while sometime to get some victories. God had to work with us and deal with us over and over again. Others had to come to our aid to help us out. And it took us a time to get the victory that we got. We need to be patient with others. They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world are those precious souls who will be patient as they journey along the path of life. Genesis 19, verses 15 through 17, please. When the morning arose,
and the angels hastened Lot,
saying,
Arise,
take your wife,
and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city.
Yes.
And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the head of his wife,
yes,
upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him.
Yes.
And they brought him forth, set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee,
yes,
neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed.
Now those precious souls, whom God will consider fit to dwell in his holy presence when this short and fleeting life is ended, are those who will start out for God, and they will not look back. They will not look back. The angel told Lot, hasten to the mountain and don't look back. Those precious souls who start out for God, and they don't look back with any desire to the things that they have left behind. And again, dear ones, it is not always the sinful things that were left behind. I thought about the Israelites, and God in his great mercy delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. And God fed them with manna from heaven. He fed them with angel food. But they began to look back into Egypt. They began to remember the melons, the leeks, the fish, the onion, the garlic. It was nothing sinful, dear ones, about fish and melon and leeks and garlic. But when they began to exalt those things above the things that God had prepared for them and provided for them, it made it sinful. Lawful things can become sinful to us if we are unthankful and ungrateful. Oh, we need God to help us. They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world are those who will start out for God, and they will not look back to the things that they have left behind with any desire to go back to those things. Lord, I want to go forward. I want to be what you would have me to be. I want to make heaven my home. The song poet said, the theater and dance all held me by their charm. I said that cards and such could never do me harm. I loved that worldly throng. I loved that worldly crew. Till I found Christ and said, no more for me. I'm through. I've left that all behind. I'm fleeing from a life. I'm striving to make heaven my home. In the book of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at verse 1, would you read a few verses for us, please?
Shall the king of heaven be likened to 10 virgins?
Yes.
Who took thy lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom? 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish.
Yes.
They who were foolish took thy lamps and took no oil with them. The wise took oil in thy vessels with thy lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept.
Yes.
And midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The wise answered, saying, Not so. This lamp is not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.
Yes.
And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes.
Now those precious souls who shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world are the men, women, boys, and girls who will watch and be ready at all times for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who will not neglect to deal with the matters of their eternity-bound soul. When the Holy Ghost put His finger upon something in your and my life, we began to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling before God. Those precious souls who will not procrastinate, who will not put off until tomorrow the things that they know they need to do today, those are the souls, dear ones, that will make heaven their home. Those who will take care of those matters in their life that God is dealing with them about. Those five foolish virgins, they had lived a good life. They didn't commit adultery. They didn't commit murder. They were not drunkards. They didn't deal in witchcraft. They had lived a good life. And yet they ended up lost because they were not ready. When Jesus came, they had not done all that He required them to do. They had not met all of the conditions that He had laid out for them to meet, and it resulted in them being unfit to dwell in His holy presence in eternity. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, please. Yes.
Beloved,
yes.
I now write unto you, in both which are stirred up your pure minds by way of remembrance.
Now those precious souls whom God will consider fit to dwell with Him in eternity are the men, women, boys, and girls who are pure in their minds. Their minds are not defiled. Their minds are not corrupt. There are some people whom their outward life, you cannot put a finger upon that individual's outward life in a way that would condemn that person. But you know, God looks beyond the outward man. God looks at the heart. God looks at the spirit. God sees the mind. God knows our thoughts afar off, the Bible said. And there are people, dear ones, who, even though they have that outward man under control, their mind is not pure. There will be no impure minds in heaven. There will be no defiled minds in heaven. There will be no corrupt minds in heaven. They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world must have a clean, pure mind. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, please. Someone in connection with that, get Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 33 and 34. Someone also get Ezekiel, chapter 18, verses 21, 22,
and 24, please. Closing. Matthew 7.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Is that through 23?
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?
Yes.
And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, he that works in iniquity.
Those precious souls which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world are the men, women, boys, and girls who will obtain and retain an intimate relationship with Christ. These people, speaking to the Lord, they said, Lord, we prophesied in your name. In your name we cast out devils. And in your name we did many mighty works. Now I want to tell us something. What these people said, no doubt was true. We say, well, why would Christ say, I never knew you? Do you know, dear ones, the Bible says Satan cannot cast out Satan. It takes the finger of God to cast out Satan. No doubt these people at one time had a genuine experience of Bible salvation, but they let it slip. They drifted away from God. They had done what they said they had done. But listen. Listen to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verses 33 and 34.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel.
Yes.
After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts.
Yes.
And will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord.
Yes.
For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
The Lord said, I'll forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. When God pardoned us, he forget about all the sins that we've committed. He blot them out. He erased them. He forget about those sins, and they'll never be brought up again. Do you know when an individual is saved and they turn from their righteousness, that God forget all the righteousness you've done? It will not be remembered. It will not be brought into mind. It's just like you never had done any righteousness in his sight. You can live 40 years for God, and the day before you die, you give up, God will not remember all the 40 years. It's all blotted out. It don't mean a thing to him. It's just like you never had done it. In Ezekiel 18, verses 21 and 22.
Which will return from all his sins.
Yes.
That he hath committed. Keep all my statutes.
Yes.
Which is lawful and right. He shall surely live, and he shall not die. All the transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned to him.
Yes.
And his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live.
Drop down and read verse 24, please.
The righteous turns away from his righteousness, committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth. Shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. And his transgress that he hath trespassed, and his sin that he hath sinned, and them shall he die.
You see, God forget about our righteousness, folks. When we turn away from him and we commit sin, it's just like we had never been a part of God. So those precious souls that would obtain that world
are those who will obtain salvation and retain an intimate relationship with God. Don't become slack. Don't become lukewarm. Don't drift away from God. Retain an intimate relationship with Him. Personal acquaintance with Him is what it'll take for us to make heaven our home. Amen.